At this time, we've turned to our scripture reading. It comes from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. And once you found it, if you could all rise. Again, it's Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Please listen to God's word. It's the parable of the unmerciful servant. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought in. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart." May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. And we welcome up Elder Huang to give the sermon entitled 70 times 7.
Good morning. I recently had a nagging cold I couldn't shake, and it bothered me quite a bit. So last night, I decided, as you say, to fight fire with fire. Last night was a very nicely cold evening or night, so I decided I'm going to fight cold with cold. So I put on my jacket, and I went out for a stroll, a long stroll. 2.5 miles, 45 minutes. And I think, well, you know, this cold air will do me good to clear my mind. And if I should catch really bad cold, then I can stay in bed and Wilson probably come up and preach. But the things didn't turn out this way. My mind didn't clear up. It's actually a little cloudy. But my cold got better. I was thinking, cold is something, it's very common, it troubles us, but we can't do much about it. Once there was a doctor who was asked to cure a cold. This doctor said, "There's no cure." And this patient said, "What kind of doctor are you? You're supposed to cure me." So the doctor said, "Okay. Go home, take a nice, long shower, hot shower, and then stand by the window." And the guy said, "What? Wouldn't I catch pneumonia?" The doctor said, "Yeah, I'm an expert in pneumonia." Some heavier problems we may have solutions for. I'm going to talk to you about forgiveness. It's one of those nagging little things. Not a very big sin. If you murder somebody, that's a problem. We know how to cure that. We throw you in jail, whatever, give you counseling. But if you're just holding grudge and not forgive other people, it's something much harder to deal with. Our Lord spoke about this issue in the lessons or in the text we read this morning. about parable of the unforgiving servant. Of course, this is a hyperlope. Jesus Christ was trying to make a point about the importance for the Christians to forgive. It's a sign that we have been forgiven. We forgive other people not so that God will forgive us. It's not a price we have to pay to earn our forgiveness, but it is a sign. It is an evidence that we are forgiven. We understood what God has done in our lives. We live in this world that's full of hatred, fighting. You bum me, I bum you. What, you bum me? We'll bum you again, and you bum our building, we bum your country. I mean, there's no end. Revenge. Revenge is almost as a duty, manly thing to do. If people wronged you, you just swallow it. What kind of man are you? We revenge. And forgiveness is hard to come back. So this battle cries of never again, the battle cries of don't tread on me. We don't like to be wronged. The law says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That's justice. We feel right about it. If somebody wronged us, we will want to see them suffer the way that we have suffered. Even if someone wronged someone else, we don't like to see that guy be forgiven. So, Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 18 spoke about the kingdom of God. There are several parables about the kingdom of God. And he spoke about what to do if there are some strife, some misunderstanding amongst the congregation, amongst the people in the church. He said, well, if somebody wronged you, you should go to him. Don't just hold a grudge. Don't just say bad things about him in the back. Go to him. Talk to him face to face to resolve the issue. If you cannot resolve the issue, bring two or three witnesses. You're talking it out. If that still would not resolve the issue, then bring the whole thing to the church. There is a process of resolving misunderstanding or disagreements or fights in the church. But to resolve it. And Peter, after hearing this, always the fast one, he came up and said to the Lord, Lord, verse 21, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? The rabbinical tradition is that you forgive somebody's wrong repeatedly for three times. The fourth time, well, then you can punish him. The most you can forgive somebody is three times. If you read in Amos, that seems to be God's pattern as well. If a country does bad things, three times God will forgive. The fourth time, those guys will be in trouble. So Peter came up and said, how many times should I forgive my brother who sinned against me? Bad guy. I'm a good guy. He's a bad guy. He has sinned against me many times. How many times should I forgive him? What about seven times? He was asking, fishing for some compliments. Oh, good boy, you are really generous. But that's not what Jesus said to him. Not seven times. In this scripture it says 77 times. There are other scriptures or translations will say 70 times, seven times. Don't bother to calculate. It's okay. It means a lot of times. It's a lot of times. We strive even to forgive one time. Here they are talking about seven times, 70 times, seven times of forgiving. How is that possible? Jesus Christ gave the following parable. He said there was a king who sat down, tried to take account or to look open his books and call his servants in, and there's a sort of a Bernie Madoff of the old. He came up in the old king. 10,000 talents. A talent is something like 200 pounds of gold. I mean, 10,000 talents. That's millions and millions of dollars. Probably $1 billion. So this guy owed a lot. It must be a secretary of treasury or somebody who's have done something that's really bad. And the king said, what if you've done that? Those times, there's a way to deal with this thing. So he said, well, I'm going to sell you. And these days we throw them in jail. But that doesn't help. You have to pay. You see, sell them so that he'll become slaves, not only sell him and all his children, his wife, and sell all his villas and his apartments and his properties and gold and his stocks, sell everything to repay. And this servant has to go saying, well, have patience with me. Give me some time. I will pay you back everything. Now, a talent is not something, 10,000 talents is not something that you can pay back easily. It's about a man's working wage. If a man earns a typical working wage, this guy will have to work for 16 million years in order to pay that thing back. It's not possible. This is the old way too much. But he said, I'm going to pay back everything. He must have felt sorry, really sorry. And the king looked at him, and the king felt sorry for him and forgave him. And the word here, canceled the debt and forgave him, forgive are the same words. It means to put down, to let go, to leave, to forgive. Cancel the debt. And then, of course, we are told that this servant went out and he found somebody who owed him 100 denarii. That's about 100 days of working wage. It's not a trivial amount, but not a great deal compared with a talent is something like 1,000 denarii. Okay, so this guy owns something like 1/10,000. I'm sorry. So this guy was owed 1/1,000,000th of what he owed other people, but he would not let this fellow servant go, and he wants him to pay everything. And he actually tried to choke the guy and use violence, throw him in the jail, and said, "Well, unless you pay me back everything, you cannot come out." And this guy's not thinking this. People have to work in order to earn money, in order to pay him back. He threw him in the jail. What's he going to do? So, this guy is very unreasonable, very bad. And the king heard about this, and so the king throw this guy, this bad guy, into jail, and that's the end of the story. Basically saying that you have received much forgiveness, and you should forgive your Father in heaven. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each one of you unless you forgive your brothers from your heart. Now the last words actually is pretty serious about forgiveness, about salvation, about not receiving it if we don't know how to forgive other people. But deep in our heart, we have the sense of justice. If somebody's done something bad, he has to pay for it. You see, the history, it's written with all so many examples of this, this revenge, and literature and all the novels are full of these things. I remember one of the first novels I read as a kid. The Chinese doesn't have really a very good novel. Those novels are very hard for kids to understand because they're written in a language, in a form that's very difficult for little kids. I can't understand any of those Chinese novels. But I came upon, the Chinese word would be The Revenge of Monte Cristo, The Count of Monte Cristo. That was really an exciting story. This guy was wronged, he was thrown in jail, he got out, and he got rich, and now he plots his revenge one by one. He revenges. Oh, as I read it, this is so good. Oh, good. We resonate with that. If you've done something wrong, you pay. That's simple justice. Because they're really bad guys in this world. Really bad guys. Later on, I grow up, I read, start to read the real Chinese novel, The Three Kingdoms. In The Three Kingdoms, there's one bad guy. Well, he pretend to be a good guy. At the time, when this is about 2,000 years ago, and the history. And you see that there's this king was very weak, and there's this prime minister who is very cruel, and he is a really bad guy. And so, here came this Cao Cao guy who decided he's going to murder, he's going to kill this bad Mr. Dong. So he borrowed a very nice, a really great sword, Bao Jian, as they call it. So he went to see Cao Cao at night, Mr. Dong at night, trying to kill him. So this Mr. Dong said, "Why do you come so late?" "Oh," he said, "my horse was so weak, so skinny." What kind of excuse is that? Anyway. So this Dong Zhuo said, "All right, if you are," Dong Zhuo likes him actually. So he said, "Okay, I'll get my bodyguard. This find him a horse." So this would be Bu Gai went out and find him a horse. So now he was left with this Mr. Dong, right? And this Mr. Dong was very fat, and he sat there and he felt tired, and so he lied down. So he pulls out his sword and tried to kill him. He didn't know that the Chinese chairs, these chairs you can lie down, has mirrors on the other side. So he could see the back. He saw this guy with the sword came out. He stand up and said, "What are you doing?" This Cao Cao knelt down and offers the great precious sword. He said, "I came here to give you this great sword." And this Dong Zhuo is also very, he likes good things. He's a very covetous guy. So he looks at his sword, he's very happy about it. And then this bodyguard came back and said, "There's a horse for you." He said, "Let me go look for a horse." So he went to look for a horse and he's fleed. So he fled. He knew that this Dong Zhuo knew he was going to kill him, right? So he decided he's going to run away. He ran away where can he go? He decided he's going to go to a village where his father's best friend lived. So he went there and said, "Well, I'm the son of so and so, and also this father's good friend, really happy to see him." He said, "Oh, welcome," and so I'm going to buy some wine and stay the night. So he and his friend, Dong Zhuo and his friend, Cao Cao and his friend sat down, and then they heard something in the kitchen. There's people were sharpening their knives. You can hear this. This is a big knife. They're sharpening. And they say, "Should we bind him then kill him?" He decided, "That's not good." So he pulled out his sword, went into the kitchen and killed them all. It's at that time he discovered that they have bound a pig. They were trying to give him a big fist, a big feast, offer him a big pig for dinner. And he killed them all. So he fled this place. He killed 8 people. 5 sons of this guy's in the family. So he went out, and this father's friend came back with this wine. He said, "Why are you leaving?" He said, "Oh, ma." He just killed his whole family. He said, I got to leave. I got to split. And, oh, it's too bad. I wish you had, so you could stay over the night. And Tata thought. He went back. He will see that I killed his family. He is going to exact his revenge. Then he said, oh, look, who's coming? And so the guy looked back. He pulled out his sword and killed this guy. Killed our family. There's this story about this Cao Cao. When we read about this, the Chinese will say that your hair goes straight up. You say, what? This is a really evil guy. You want to see him suffer. You don't want to see him go scot-free. Right? Simple. That's basic sense of justice. It's this basic sense of justice which we confuse it with virtue is in conflict with this requirement of forgiveness. That's why forgiveness is so hard. We like to harbor this the resentment because people have done us wrong. You remember the story about the prodigal son, the older brother who saw the younger brother came home. The younger brother was bad. He spent all the money and he was a bad boy. And then he came home and he said, Father, I am not worthy of your servant. And the father said, what? Oh, you're my son. And put a robe on him and have a feast for him. And this old brother said, what? This bad guy? He's going to enjoy this feast? This all the celebration? I'm not going to join. He stood outside. He doesn't want any part of it. Natural. If you were the old boy, the older brother, wouldn't you do the same? Wouldn't you? If you know the depths of heart, we say, yeah, even though our mouth said, no, we're going to forgive. Forgive people from your heart, Jesus said. If you don't forgive, you are not forgiven. That's serious. Let's look a little bit deeper and see why this is so. We know that there's always a price to forgive other people. It means that you suffer in vain. You have to swallow your pain. You exact no payment. You will have to receive other people back into your life as if nothing has happened. There's always a great price to pay to forgive other people. Yet there's also a great price to pay if you don't forgive other people. What happens if you don't forgive other people? If we don't forgive other people, we have to live in the past, so to speak. Revenge is something that's powered by anger, and it causes anxiety, causes hatred, it depresses us. And there's psychiatrists would say, I've read once a report about why there were so many people who are burned out. We think that because we work too hard so that we burn out. And the psychiatrist said, no, that's not the only reason why people burn out. And there's a lot of people who are burned out because they fail to forgive. I was so surprised to see that. And then understand, if you hold grudge in your mind, your heart, and you constantly hate this guy, and then of course, I don't know whether the doctors will agree, but their symptoms of burnout will come up, probably would really burn out. I was an MP before. Forgive. This word comes from Middle English, means basically to let go. It's easy to let go. Okay. To put down, to let go. When I was in Taiwan, before I came to United States, all red-blooded young man has to go through the army. I had to be in the army. So I was in the armed services. I was in this military police branch. So I'm MP, hated by everybody. You're hated by your own army, hated by your enemy. So it's really not a good place a good person to be if you were in the war. But anyway, I was an MP, second lieutenant, military police. Military police sometimes catch some bad guys, right? And I remember, I called the bad guy. I said, "Don't move!" I had my gun sounded. "Don't move! Freeze!" Right? Freeze. That time I discovered something. What did I discover? I discovered that when I hold them where I want them to be, "Don't move," I can't move either. I got to be there also. He's not free, I'm not free. Both of us are stuck. Holding grudges somewhere like that. If you don't let other people go, you're not going anywhere yourself. You are held hostage by your own hatred, by your own desire to have revenge. So somebody said, he said, not to forgive people or holding this sense when they have revenge, it's like to drink poison and hope other people die. We hurt ourselves in the hopes that other people will be hurt. If this unforgiveness is not very smart in that sense. Hatred, unforgiveness, turns a lovely young lady into witches. A lot of stories, a lot of novels are written about that, especially the Chinese martial arts novel. You want revenge, you don't look that good. And above all, not forgiving other people prevents us to really experience, to taste God's love and forgiveness. Forgiveness and love cannot be separated. If you don't love, you cannot really forgive. Love your enemy and pray for those who persecuted against you. Enemy, someone who has wronged you. Bad guys. Unless you forgive, you cannot love. You cannot obey God's word. You cannot really pray for anybody unless you are a real hypocrite. Forgiveness is so fundamental in Christian life, but something I find it difficult. That's why Jesus Christ reminds each one of us in our prayers, daily prayers perhaps, in Matthew 6:12, "Forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven our debtors. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive our sins as we forgive other people who sin against us." Same meaning. It's not that God is stingy. It speaks our capacity of receiving forgiveness. To forgive is to affirm God's sovereignty, because he said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." Do you believe that? That God is a God of justice. God is a God of justice. We should love our enemy. Vengeance, punishments if you wish. Justice belongs to Christ. And that's what our Lord did when he was hung on the cross. People around him have caused so much pain for him. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." That's one of the 7 words from the cross. Forgive them, because they don't know what they are doing. When people sin us, very often they are also under the influence and under the power of sin. So they did these bad things. In that sense, they don't know what they're doing. They're not themselves. They're just being used by sin. Forgive them. Forgive them. It's a great example for us to remember that when we're around, that other people are not that free. they are objects for our love, and they are the lost sheep, so to speak. Those are the people we have to have a lot of burdens for, so that they may receive mercy. To show God's mercy in our life is the first step. The last reason we should forgive other people is because we are not the ultimate victim. God is. When people transgress about what's right and what's wrong, transgress about mercy, against mercy, they transgress against God's law. So God is the ultimate victim. David knew that. So when David murdered Uriah, he knew that. He has done something very bad. So in Psalm 51 he prayed. He said, against you, you only, speaking to God, against you, God, you only have I sinned. I sinned against you. God is mercy. God is mercy. You see, in the Old Testament, if you've done something bad, there's a certain type of way that you can amend your sins through offering and sacrifices. If you've done this, you'll make this offering. If you've done that, you make that offering or sacrifices. There was no sacrifice or offering that's offered to people who murder other people. In that sense, it's unforgivable. Yet, even so, we know from David's life and in his Psalms, he was forgiven. God has forgiven people, which we think that's incredible, cannot be forgiven. Yet God does. People like us, we have all done some things which we cannot do anything about because it's in the past. We cannot go to the past to read down what we have done. And we've sinned against God, and He has forgiven our sins. And furthermore, He has given us eternal life. He led us to experience not only His forgiveness, but also His love. Not only that, we can enjoy the fellowship and love of our fellow Christians, a tremendous amount of mercy that's shown in the lives of a sinner. So we, a sinner who has obtained forgiveness, should likewise forgive other people who had wronged us a little bit. That's basically the parable, 100 denarii. If we have really understood we're being forgiven, we shouldn't hold this grudge in our heart, because we are the citizens of the kingdom of God. The reality of our faith, the reality of our redeemed life is shown in this thing, that God's love filled in our life. Because of that love in us, we can forgive. Like a mother never holds a grudge against the baby or her child, her children, usually, because of that love. There's always the serious side, let me remind you, because it occurred in the Bible many times. Let me remind you of Matthew 6:14-15. Again, this is from the mouth of Jesus Christ. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. We knew that. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Your Father will not forgive your sins. Why? Because when we don't forgive other people, we don't have love in our heart. God's love in our heart. If we don't forgive other people, this unforgiveness was sustained by hatred. Anyone who hates your brother, Jesus said, you kill him. You are a murderer. That's why, if anyone who hates our brother, we're still in darkness, we're still in sin, we're still in darkness. We haven't really been walking in the light. So this is a very simple test for each one of us. If in our heart, in the depth of our heart, we hold grudges against brother, against our siblings, against anyone, beware. There could be something very bad looking there. For a transformed life, gradually we're able to throw this off. Gradually we'll see that forgiveness is something that will come to us very naturally. The purpose of the law, which I spoke several times about, the justice, the purpose of law is not so much to make the guilty party pay as to make the bad people good. That's the purpose. In forgiveness, has that power to transform the people whom have sinned against you, not only to repent what they do, but to love you. That's a miracle. That's a miracle the world needs this day. You can't solve this problem by I bomb you, you bomb me, I use bigger bombs. Only by the love of God, only through forgiveness, these issues may find a solution. We are the children of God. Jesus Christ came to show that He demonstrated how God loved us by forgiving us on the cross. We are His testament, with His witness in our willingness to forgive other people. We similarly demonstrate Christ's love. It's in that demonstration people's life can be drawn to Christ, and their life may be changed. And that's the power of that parable of the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your forgiveness and for your love. We know that in our hearts there are many things which we held grudges for. Yet, Father, we pray that you remove them and let your light shine in our hearts. Let your love fill our lives so that we, from the depth of our heart, we may forgive other people. We know sometimes the hurt can be very deep, yet in you, everything is possible. We give thanks to you. We pray in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.